Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the third Sunday of Easter. Today we will reflect on our gospel from St. Luke and hear and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
The annual Spring Festival and Trail Ride, sponsored by Immaculate Conception Church in Concepcion on May 10th, is sure to be a huge success. Admission is free. Following the trail ride, bring your lawn chairs for great food, a variety of booths, games, and a train ride for the children, a hay ride for everyone, arts and crafts, your favorite beverages, and live music by Jerry and the Roughnecks, the Herrera Brothers, DJ music, and a special performance by Amanda Lee. So make plans now to have a great time from noon till midnight on the church grounds in Concepcion. For more information, call 361-539-4322.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, and I hope everyone listening is well today, too. And again, happy Easter season to everyone.
That's right. You said that last week, and so we know that we're going to be in this season for several more weeks.
That's right, for quite a while.
Right. Well, we have a wonderful gospel again from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is, of course, the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, a story from the resurrection section of the scriptures that we're all very much fond of. From St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you go along the way?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us, while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us. So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, as you mentioned, this is a post-resurrection appearance of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, but as I was researching it, and of course if I'd remembered a couple of weeks ago, this gospel reading is the same one as the afternoon gospel that we had on Easter Sunday.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a remarkable story because it does obviously happen on Easter's, what we would call Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection of the Lord, because they were returning back home from that very event that had happened 3 days earlier with the crucifixion, and now they are returning from Jerusalem back home. And so it was there that Jesus, you know, appeared to them and gave them that wonderful moment with him.
Well, and of course, they're on this road, and they're so disillusioned because they thought that Jesus was this great prophet, and then, of course, I'm sure shocked at, after what they had witnessed.
Yeah, and you know, I reading this again in preparation, it's been called for us several times, both the Pope Emeritus Benedict and also now Pope Francis have spoken to all of us about encountering Jesus, and I think this is a wonderful story that depicts that encounter with Jesus. And one of the things that was said is that, you know, for us to encounter him, or at least be open to him encountering us, which is a wonderful way of putting, you know, just opening our lives. But what is important here with the disciples is they had the faith and the humility, really, to be willing to recognize him through the signs that he worked among them. In the word that he was speaking to them, their hearts were burning, and in the breaking of the bread, they recognized him, and so they were open. And I think this is something, especially during the Easter season now, that we should say, how do I encounter Christ today, or how can I be open to encountering him, not with a heads downcast about life, but with heads and hearts open toward him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know that that's a, I guess you would call it a wake-up call for us to be aware of those circumstances when we do encounter him. And like the disciples, we may not recognize it right away, but all of a sudden something will be said or something, an action will happen, and we'll think, this is it.
Well, you know, I think the other thing is that he's willing to enter into any of our situations. I mean, they were in a particular situation. They were hoping for something else, for someone else, that this would be the one. But he entered into that situation and made sense of it by his own presence. And I think this is something that we should always consider in our own life if we're open to Christ coming, is that he can enter into any situation that is personal to us. And to not limit it, well, I can only meet him, you know, if I go to church, I can only meet him, you know, at night if I'm praying. But no, he's in every situation, and especially if we need particular help in whatever we are living through right now, you know, especially if at work there's something difficult that I'm dealing with at work, either because of personalities or because of a situation, or even my own failure, you know, in something, that he can encounter us there if we're open to it. And that's why those words, "stay with us, Lord," are so important, because we saw this several times in the Gospels where up on the mountain, Peter and James and John experienced the glorified Christ in the Transfiguration, you know, "let us stay here." And there's different times they just want to stay where they are. But in this case, Jesus enters into their world, into the world of these two disciples, and they invite him to stay with them, not to stay in just a transfigured state of life as a glory state, but to come and be where we are And I think this is a real gift of the Easter season, that we can invite him, the risen Lord, to stay with us, to be with us in these situations. And so those words that we are either encountering Christ or we let him come and encounter us are very important. So it just simply takes those words, come and stay with us, come be with me in this moment, and to find the strength and the power of his risen presence in those situations.
And of course, in the Eucharist, we recognize Jesus all this time. When I was researching this, my reading said that there were four actions: took, said, broke, and gave, which were Jesus' gestures mm-hmm. of unmasking himself.
Right.
And of course, that was when, you know, they were breaking the bread.
Sure. And all of those things, you know, really express action. As you said, they're action verbs that he took, he broke, he said, and he gave. It's the work of God to take what we give him, which is also to take our lives, to break sometimes even our own lives. We do need to be broken a bit mm-hmm. to be able to see, and gave. So really to give us the necessary help and to live our life. So, you know, all these actions that happen to the Eucharist can also happen in our own lives, because he wants us to be Eucharist for others as well. So, and it's very symbolic. I think, you know, this whole gospel here is so meaningful to us on the road to life, the road to our own Emmaus.
Right, and of course the disciples at that time were probably unaware that, and we've heard this term used a lot, whenever two or more are gathered in Christ's name,
right.
Christ is there.
He is there, right. Mm-hmm. And I want to just, before the break, just bring out one more word, and that is the word joy, the joy of the disciples. When we meet Christ, when we are assured of his presence, it can put a smile on our faces. Too often we go through life, or religion has had kind of the label of being something for sad people, or, you know, but to say that in these encounters, true encounters with the risen Christ, it brings joy to our face, to joy to our heart. And that's what encountering Jesus in the gospel is really all about. And when we can recognize that he has come to visit us, that can bring us a true sense of joy in our life.
Mm-hmm. And I think we can all look back on times right. when we have encountered him.
Yeah, the joy of the encounter with the risen Christ is something that is subtle, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not something that beats us over the head, but it's a very subtle thing. But if it does bring a certain peace and a certain joy into our life, we know it's real.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
It may have crossed your mind only a time or two, or perhaps it's been on your mind for a long time. Should I seriously consider the life of a nun, a priest, a religious, or other consecrated person? If I could only talk with someone about it, then I might better understand what God is asking of me. Come join other single men and women of faith, ages 18 to 35, who are in the same boat, at a weekend retreat, June 20th through 23rd, right here in Corpus Christi. If the religious, ordained, or consecrated life is what God wants for you, a weekend of discernment will help you discover the answer, yes or no. At a minimum, it will put you in the position to make the right decision. This is Sister Anna Marie Espinosa. Call the Vocations Office at 361-882-6191. The registration deadline is May 23rd, so the time to respond is now. Uncertainty is confusing. Discernment helps clear the air.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, it's the first Sunday in May, and so we have our Word of Life for May, which, of course, coincides with our Gospels.
Yeah, it's a beautiful word for us to be able to experience and to live in our daily life. It's taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 5. On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is Paul's exhortation to the Corinthians following his great announcement. The heart of the whole gospel. God has reconciled the world to himself through Christ. God has given us the greatest proof of his love in the death of his Son on the cross. Through the cross of Christ, he has reconciled us to himself. This fundamental truth of our faith has much to say to our times. It's the revelation that all humanity is waiting for. Yes, God is near. He loves everyone, and he loves each one immensely. Our world needs to hear this, but we can say it only if we repeat it to ourselves, first to the point of realizing that we are enveloped by his love, even when everything would make us think the opposite. On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This faith in the love of God, however, cannot remain closed up within the inner depths of each individual person. As Paul explains very well, God has given us the ministry of bringing others to reconciliation with him. By entrusting to each Christian the great responsibility of witnessing to God's love for his creatures, how can we do this? Our way of behaving should make this truth credible. Jesus said clearly that before bringing our offering to the altar, we should be reconciled with our brothers and sisters if they have something against us. And this holds true, first of all, within our communities, our families, groups, associations, or churches. In other words, we are called to break down all the barriers that block harmony among peoples and nations. On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. On behalf of Christ means in his name. Our aim, then, is to take his place, to live with him, and to love one another as he loved us. That is, without being limited by attitudes and prejudices, but being open to accepting and appreciating the positive values of our neighbors, even ready to give our life for them. This is Jesus' commandment par excellence, the characteristic of Christians which is as valid today as if it were in the time of the first followers of Christ. Living these words means becoming reconcilers. In this way, if our every gesture, every word, every attitude is imbued with love, they will be like those of Jesus. Like him, we will be bearers of joy and hope, of concord and peace. That is, what all creation is waiting for, a world reconciled to God. Kara Lubick.
Of course, in the very beginning of this Word of Life and the explanation, it was, you know, about God has given us the greatest proof of his love in the death of his Son on the cross, just something that we experienced several weeks ago. Through the cross, he has reconciled us to himself.
Right. And, you know, these are all, how do I say, beautiful words and beautiful ideas, you might say, but until they are translated into concrete life, they remain ideas. And Jesus did not mean his words to remain just inspirations for us, but inspirations that lead to mission. I've been re-looking at the letter of the Holy Father on the joy of the gospel, and you know, even there he says, as Christians, we cannot just continue kind of looking inward of what does this mean to me, but what does this mean to me so that I can move out of myself or out of the comfort zones of life and really apply them to life. And really, if you think about it, that's what death means, that that I'm dying to myself, because as I've said over and over, it's not a death that is the physical death at the end of life only that opens to resurrection, but it's even today. And so how do we experience that death to self each day and in the opportunities that are presented to us? That's really the question that we have to look at.
It's a hard question.
Yeah, but it happens to us daily. I mean, right. You know, if we kind of like what we were talking about in the first part of the program is letting Christ enter into the situation. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, I was in a store in Houston preparing to go give a talk on communion and how to build up a spirituality of communion. And I was checking out, and there was a lady at the cash register, then another woman and myself. And the lady in front of me was kind of getting her purse ready with her change or her payment plan, whatever it was. She was buying three little plastic boxes. And so she looked at me and she started explaining to me what she was going to do with the three plastic boxes. Now, you know, on a normal level, I could care less what you're going to do with your plastic box. You know, everyone has different ideas. But she went through this long explanation. And, you know, it began to dawn on me that this was for her a moment to explain or to be in communion with someone else. And I think in some ways it's what's on behalf of Christ, be reconciled or to be reconcilers to God, to bring others to God. And so, you know, as I look back, of course, these things happen so quick, you're not aware.
Right.
But you are, as it says here, you become the hands of Christ, you become the voice of Christ, the ears of Christ, the eyes of Christ. So you're really trying to be Christ to this woman. Well, he wouldn't refuse her or any of us just to listen. So I thought, okay, I'm to listen. So I began listening. And you know, you can stay at the point of just listening or enter into the discussion. So I said, well, you know, I have a box just like that. And I use mine for this. Oh, really? And so we went back and forth. Just kind of, you know, trying to reconcile differences among peoples. But those are the simple things. But we can let them just, you know, pass us by as if they don't mean anything, but they do mean something. Something as simple as that. Two people meeting in a store and talking about the usage of plastic boxes can turn into something. I mean, Jesus, when he met the disciples on Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus, he entered into their situation and made sense out of it. Otherwise, it would have made no sense. They returned home, down, dejected, and it was all over. But he came in and enlightened that situation. And for us too, in our day-to-day life, is to give light to the very simple situations. And of course, after I left the store myself on the way to give the talk, I thought, well, how can you go talk to others about, you know, being a person of communion and trying to build up relationships if you had not done it there?
Right.
In a very simple, and I'll never see her. She'll never see me again.
But you were present to
but
her.
But you be present to each other. I mean, I think this is what the Lord wants. And that's why he came to reconcile us to God and to reconcile us to one another. So it's just a simple thing. But these kinds of encounters are very important to us to teach us to be reconciled to God and to be reconciled and reconcilers with one another.
Well, and when you mentioned being reconcilers with one another, I thought about our gospel last week on Divine Mercy Sunday. Mm-hmm. And when you were talking about that we need to offer forgiveness and give mercy to those mm-hmm. that maybe we've had differences with.
Yeah.
Or, you know, within our family or the workplace yeah. or something. And that's what I read into this piece.
Yeah, and it's humbling to know that you don't know what's going on in other people's lives. And to know that maybe the Lord puts you there for a reason, because I don't know what was in that lady's life. She didn't seem to be, you know, malcontent with anything or unhappy with life or anything. But you never know. You never know what's going on in a person's life. So to know that we are constantly in a situation of being reconcilers in every situation is a humbling experience and something that we should all be attentive to and aware of in our daily life.
Well, and to be reconcilers, Bishop, I think you said it beautifully. You were in a grocery store and you could have quickly said, oh, nice boxes, and moved on, but we need to just stop. You know, that encounter probably mm-hmm. took a few minutes, maybe mm-hmm. 5 minutes max, but we need to get out of our, at least for me personally, get out of the rush of always being on the go and
right.
just stopping and
right.
being present.
Well, and one who seeks to be reconciled cannot be annoyed by the other person. I mean, that's the other thing. You can feel that another person is an annoyance to you. And then, you know, you have an experience like that, and which, again, is very simple. But once you think about it and how we normally act, and I think that's the reason to have an experience. And the word, and the particular purpose of the Word of Life is to create these experiences with God's Word so that we can look back and change our normal behavior, which would have been, this is an annoyance, I really don't want to hear this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet I was there, and this happened. And you can see another way of acting, another way of thinking, another way of doing by seeing the opposite, how it could have been, but how it was when the Word of God enlightens us in these moments. This is, again, as Jesus entered into the lives of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it changed their way of perception, their way of living for that day and for the rest of their life.
Wonderful things for us to do as we move forward on our journey. Well, Bishop, if you could close our session, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. God, you are our Father, and you are the God of mercy and love. Enkindle our faith during this Easter season so that we may grow in your grace and grasp the beauty of our baptismal life in you. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.